worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Jude Kuravan, and she is the author of The Cosmic Hologram, Information at the Center of Creation. To know more about her work, you can go to her website, wholeworld-view.org. Jude, you just mentioned the word pixelation, and earlier you mentioned Planck's, the physicist, his scale.
Yes.
And there's a formula that he has for scale. That formula has come forward now in a new way, right?
Big time. Absolutely big time.
So talk about why the pixelation is important.
Okay. Well, physicists realize that when we combine all the forces in the universe, a scale, a natural scale, just falls out. And it's a scale of length and time and mass and temperature. But it's the length and the time that we really need to focus on. Because what it's been realized is that when I talked about those little triangles, you know, that cover the boundary of our universe, they are composed at that Planck scale. So literally they are the pixelation. I don't know about you, but I remember when we had a television that when, you know, you could go closer and closer to it and you could actually see the tiny little pixels working with it.
Yeah, the little dots.
The little dots, exactly. And so what this is the pixelation of space-time. And we are talking about absolutely minute. So the Planck scale in terms of the length, which is the size of these little triangles, is 10 to the minus 35 meters. Now, to give you an understanding of that, that's as tiny as to the scale of an atomic nucleus, is an atomic nucleus is to the scale of the entire universe. It's that tiny. But not just that, as our universe exists and evolves through time, the Planck scale of time is 10 to the minus 44 seconds. Now, when you think that from the first moment of the Big Breath, 13.8 billion years ago till now, that's the equivalent of 10 to the 17 seconds.
Are you saying that time has changed?
No, I'm saying that this pixelation scale of space-time has both a size in terms of space and a duration in terms
because
of time.
Because it's expanding.
Yes, and time is flowing. So that's what I mean by saying that in every moment, the universe has more information because time is flowing and space is expanding. You know, when you blow a balloon up, if we were to just put little triangles and write little triangles on the surface, as the surface area of a balloon grows, those triangles get bigger. Well, that doesn't happen in our universe. What happens is there's just more and more and more and more of those Planck units coming into being. And each one of them is holding one bit of information.
So All right, I'm thinking of a movie right now.
Right, okay.
All right, I'm thinking of the movie is Love Actually. And at the end of it, it shows a picture of people meeting in an airport and you just see two people meeting.
Yeah.
And then it adds the next people and it starts to go back.
Yes.
Back until the whole screen of the big theater is filled with all of these pictures of all of these people meeting in an airport. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
It sort of is. What it's saying is that think of our universe almost like a universe soul. It's a living entity. It's an intelligent entity. It was born 13.8 billion years ago. It exists and it evolves. It's moved from simplicity to complexity. And because it is unified, it is literally a cosmic hologram that, as the ancients said, the whole is within each pixelation and within each pixelation, you know, and so the whole is in the one, the one is in the whole.
It's more like a kaleidoscope.
you can say that. The thing is, it's so profoundly unified, and yet it's diversified, it's differentiated.
And yet it's alive, too.
Yes.
Totally alive.
Yes.
And intelligent.
Yes. And its intelligence is growing. Just as yesterday, we had less informational content in our lives than we do now. You know, we've had 24 hours to experience. Our universe has had 24 hours to experience since yesterday. Our entire universe. So, you know, because of that, it's complexity. It evolves. And it doesn't mean that space itself gets more, you know, complex. It doesn't. It means that right from the beginning, when all there really was in our universe 13.8 billion years ago, was some hydrogen, a little bit of helium, a little bit of lithium. But then stars began to form. And when stars go through their life cycle, they start to build heavier elements. I mean, one of the things that you were mentioning earlier, two merging neutron stars, it is so powerful that it creates gold and platinum. Mm-hmm. It is so powerful. You know, if you're wearing a gold ring, your gold ring was born in a neutron star. Mm. Is that wonderful to think of that?
I've heard that we are made of stardust.
We are 13.8 billion years old because all the energy and matter in our universe from the very beginning to its very end is exactly the same. Energy and matter conserved within our entire universe. They just change form. So that literally everything that makes us up, it wasn't carbon then or oxygen, but it was there. And from that incredible, simple and ordered and fine-tuned beginning, those laws of physics, those algorithms of information, those instructions have enabled our universe to exist and evolve to this point and beyond.
Well, going back to something that you said very early that just popped out at me, just the three words you said, that are important are these fields of influence.
Yeah.
And so what I'm hearing you say as it expands, there also is there an expansion of can we influence things?
Of course.
Where is the influence and how is that being affected?
Well, we're essentially microcosmic co-creators of the realities of our universe. I mean, one of the things that I wanted to show in the book was way physics and the biology, but to show that the cosmic hologram, its signature of informed patternings, dynamic relational patterns, they play out through all of what we call the natural world, but they play out through all our behaviors and relationships on our everyday lives. The same patterns that play out in say, an ecosystem in the Amazon plays out throughout the internet. The same patterns that play out in other natural systems play out in the way we use mobile phones. I mean, there have been analyses of thousands of phone calls from thousands of anonymized users showing that despite everybody's different lifestyles and where they are and where they're going to, the same patterns, what's called fractal patterns, play out in all our collective decisions. Earthquakes, give you an example. There isn't such a thing as an average earthquake. What's been realized over many, many years is if you plot all earthquakes in terms of their destructive power and their frequency, you don't get a peak of an average, you get a straight line. And all that straight line shows is that an earthquake that's twice the power is four times less likely to happen. Simple as that. So there's a relationship between the power, the destructive power and frequency of earthquakes. A researcher called Lewis Richardson at the end of the Second World War plotted hundreds of human conflicts and showed the destructive power in terms of the number of deaths and the frequency and came up with exactly the same relationship as for earthquakes. More recently, a researcher called Neil Johnson and his team at the University of Miami have done it with insurgencies in Iraq and Afghanistan and found the same relationship.
So let me ask you this question, because you brought up in your book something called the Red Queen dilemma.
Or, yes.
Red Queen. What was it? The Red Queen.
It's from Lewis Carroll. And basically, you just run to stand still, because what you get, if you get a progression of events such as insurgencies, the relationship between them means that it's almost like tit for tat. You do something, the enemy does something. You do something, the enemy does something.
Infinitum.
Infinitum. You just run to stand still.
Over
you never
and over
resolve
and over.
It. You right. never resolve it.
And that seems to be where we are right now in many cases.
Well, absolutely, because what what I've shown in the book and what, you know, research across all these fields show is all that we call physical reality, this informed and holographic cosmic hologram we call our universe, arises from deeper non-physical patterns of information and intention. So when I talk about conflicts playing out in the same way as earthquakes, that comes from an attractor of behavioral choices. And just as behavioral choices drive us to conflicts, we can choose to create a different attractor based on peace. We can come together, and instead of an attractor that plays out all of the, you know, the fear-based behaviors that we play out, we can strengthen and empower and choose to move towards positive attractors that, you know, that their boundaries are peace and love. They're love-based instead of fear-based.
I can give you an example of that, a current example of that, that we're going through right now in this very moment here in this area. I live in Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. California, and we have just had a devastating fire.
Yeah.
6,000 homes and businesses have burnt to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, in a very, very small area, yeah. And it's just disrupted everything. And what I've noticed as a response in this particular area has been, what you say, that love response mm-hmm. and support response. The support has been incredible. And yeah. all of us are thinking, wow, it takes a disaster for us to come together
exactly.
like this. You yeah. know, how do we sustain this without the disaster? And isn't that the question?
It is, and it is consciousness. And what are our conscious choices as microcosmic co-creators of the realities of our universe? You know, I balk at saying we are the universe. The universe is a wonderful macrocosm of intelligence and consciousness. We're its microcosmic co-creators. So where we have these choices of fear and love, we have one attractor based in fear, based in the myth of separation, because it is the myth of separation. You know, I'm here to say the myth of separation is dead. Separation does not exist. Reality is real. Separation is illusory. So let's get real, people, and let's start to understand that it's that myth of separation, that dis-ease of our collective perception that's driven our dysfunctional behaviors that have brought us to this point of potential breakdown. The point is that we, by being here and now at this unsustainable moment, we also have a choice: breakdown or breakthrough. So we can break through to this higher level, coherent, love-based attractors. But what happens when a system is ready to shift? It's called bifurcation. And what it does something called flickering.
Ah, flickering. Let's get to flickering in just one moment. I'm here with Dr. Jude Kervan, and she's the author of The Cosmic Hologram, Information at the Center of Creation. She spells her last name C-U-R-R-I-V-A-N. And her website is wholeworld-view.org. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Thank you. here with Dr. Jude Kervan, and she's the author of The Cosmic Hologram, Information at the Center of Creation. And we're just getting to the point of you're talking about the flicker and or the wobble. So what tell us about the flicker and what the importance of that?
Well, I mean, we've probably all flickered in our lives in the sense that if we're in a particular a belief system, yeah, we believe something about ourselves and others and the world, whether it's real or not. Yeah. But we act from that. So we play out within our behavior the essential, the attractor boundaries of what it means when we think of everybody being separate from us. And as we go on our own journey, perhaps our own spiritual journey, our own journey of insight, we start to perhaps understand, experience that actually things are more interconnected than we thought. But then we have a bad day. Okay, so we pull back into the old way of perceiving, the old attractor. And then we have a lovely meditation and we move into this beautiful understanding and experience of the oneness, yeah? And then we pull back because we've had another, you know, terrible whatever, whatever. That's flickering. And we're doing that as a collective psyche. You know, we've experienced the myth of separation. We've experienced the myth that somehow, but we didn't know how, mind arises from matter, and somehow, but we weren't sure that consciousness somehow evolves. We're now waking up to the reality that our reality is unified and diverse and differentiated, but is ultimately unified.
So are you saying that we're the possibility of us living that not as just a momentary thing, but really as
a lived experience, embodied experience, exactly that. And that is the flickering, because more and more people are beginning to understand and experience and progressively embody this unity awareness. And the beauty of it is that it's not about a grey gloop where, you know, it's all homogenous and we're all the same. Absolutely not. A healthy ecosystem is the most varied, the most abundant, and yet it is whole.
And diverse.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm talking about very much is that when we begin to understand, experience, embody unity awareness of unified reality, we can empower and value the uniqueness of every me and value and celebrate the diversity of the we and bring together the collective genius of the we and the bigger we. This isn't just humanity, of course. This is also healing our relationship with Mother Earth, healing our relationship with the whole cosmos. And this to me is literally our potential for conscious evolution. And this is the threshold. So we flicker from this old, unsustainable paradigm of separation and the fear-based behaviors that come from it. And we move to this new attractor, this new paradigm, this new awareness that mind is matter. And consciousness isn't something we have. It's literally what we and the whole world are. And then value that, celebrate that.
So what I hear you saying is that we're moving, like, if we move into this belief system or a new awareness.
I was going to say, it's not a belief system much, because it really is an awareness, because everything, it's still a work in progress. Any, I think, human perception is a work in progress. But this is a work in progress that we talked about, you know, 20th century science being bigger. This is valuing that, but the way that we can do it, it actually reconciles all of that, but it's far more than a scientific revolution. It literally is a revolution of consciousness, of awareness.
Okay, that reminds me. All right, so to give an example, going back, like we may be at a tipping point in our whole awareness and whole paradigm. If you go back to the time of Galileo, Copernicus, they showed that that the Earth is not the center of the universe, and the Sun wasn't revolving around the Earth, but the Earth was revolving around the Sun, and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And then it took some decades after that for the Age of Enlightenment to come into, and everything changed.
Yeah,
then.
Absolutely.
So, are you saying that here we are in that same moment of time, so to speak, that kind of paradigm shift is taking place and maybe needs to take place much faster than it did, than it came on in the Age of Enlightenment.
I feel it will, and I feel it's actually much more profound than even the Age of Enlightenment. Wonderful that that was. And I feel it's much more, I think it's much more than the 20th century scientific revolution, because this is a revolution that isn't just about, you know, what's out there in the universe or what's in the very small or very, this is how we live our lives. This is how every day we choose to relate with each other.
So this is from the inside out.
This is inside out, outside in, and it's reconciling it. It's showing that the inside is the outside is the inside, that we are unique microcosmic co-creators, and yet we are part of the ultimate unified reality of our universe. And we are purposeful, and we have meaning, and we have an incredible future if we can come together. And instead of falling into fear, leap into love. And that is the opportunity I feel we have now.
And what you're also saying is that we are absolutely co-creators in this whole play.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, the universe is a macrocosmic intelligence. We are microcosmic intelligences, but we have access to its wholeness. We have access to its deep wisdom. It's about, you know, listening, because one of the things that I'm feeling is really important now, and you mentioned the fires and all of it, we need to listen to the wisdom of Gaia. We need to listen to the wisdom of Mother Earth. And, you know, we've been so human-centric and so separated from ourselves, from each other, from our Mother Earth for quite a while now. This is about reconciliation and resolution at every level, you know, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual.
And when you talk about fear and separation, and on the other end of that spectrum is love, I think of love is the glue.
Love's the glue,
absolutely. Of the universe.
Yes.
Can you speak to that?
Well, when we consider our universe is a unit, it exists and evolves as a unified, coherent entity. I'm not talking sentimentalized love, but that love is that profound underpinning
attraction
of unity. And, you know, look at a sunset, look at a star, look at a baby. You know, that love is innate. It's innate. It's only when we misunderstand and go into that illusion of separation that we forget. And then when we forget, we start to feel separate, we start to feel lonely, we start to feel threatened, we start to feel afraid, and then we behave from that place of appearance of separation. So reality is real, but separation is not.
Wow. So you talk about the co-creative principles.
Yeah.
And I would just love in these last few minutes, if there's something that you'd like to say about these principles that would be helpful to us in this time.
Well, thank you, Justine. I've some years ago, because I've written about them before in a number of other books, but I've understood eight, and eight's a great number. You know, eight is the bridge between our personalized, if you like, chakra system and the universal chakra system. It's in spiral dynamics. It's the eighth level of what is talked about at this time and this holographic movement forward. But as these eight principles, it's an octave of music, of course, so it's a doubling in frequency. But these eight principles are principles of both physics and metaphysics. So they're principles of consciousness. So they're things about, you know, resonance and coherence and change, and very, very simple. But if we work with them, if someone works with them and understands them, they basically can align themselves with the flow of our universe. So rather than fight it or be unconscious of it, these are co-creative principles that apply throughout our entire universe and apply from that trans-physical perspective where consciousness informs and co-creates reality. So the choice is really, are we unconscious microcosmic co-creators or are we conscious co-creators? And what these principles, which I write about in the book, it's how we can become ever more conscious co-creators of our choices, and to help us make those choices from love rather than from fear. Every day. Every day.
So we have that opportunity every single, in every little microcosmic action we take is what you're saying. You're encouraging us to know each one. Here's a choice point. Here's a choice point. Here's a choice point.
Yeah. How you think, do you offer a kind word to someone or just, you know, ignore them? Do you give someone a hug? Do you smile at a stranger? You know, these don't need to be big, big, big things. You don't know if when you smile at that stranger could have been feeling suicidal that day. You just smile.
I've heard stories like that.
And their lives are saved, are changed, are transformed. You know, the whole point is that complex systems like our collective psyche, what are non-linear, a tiny little cause can have a major consequence. And sometimes what appears to be a very big cause can just fizzle away. So coming from the heart, coming from love, all day, every day, and don't beat ourselves up when we go, we get grumpy. I mean, you know, heavens. I could be Mrs. Grumpy with the best, but not to give ourselves a hard time. But just when we catch ourselves doing something unkind, just bring ourselves back. Just take a breath.
Take a breath. That's such a hopeful vision, Jude. Thank you so much for being with us today. We have so much more to cover, but we'll have to kind of leave it with that hopeful vision. I've been here with Dr. Jude Kuravan, and she's the author of The Cosmic Hologram, Information at the Center of Creation. If you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, wholeworld-view.org. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3629.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org. And just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Brenda Peterson, author of Wild Chorus. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about essential lessons we can learn from animals.
Tree Canada's National Greening Program is planting seedlings across 5 regions of the country: BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They plant in areas that are in need of reforestation or afforestation across Canada. Tree Canada selects sites where appropriate native species will be planted to make sure that natural forests come back to life. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.